turn your Bibles to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Now, if you read right under Psalm 141:42, it says, Mashiel of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Dealing with Difficulties. The Holy Spirit inspired David to write this psalm when he was in great distress of soul and affliction and difficulty. King Saul, who was jealous of David, was hunting him down like a wild animal. King Saul wanted David dead. David was huddled up in a dark cave, alone with no one to turn to but God. We learn in verse 2, he was in trouble. He felt overwhelmed, verse 3, and trapped. He felt as though no one cared for his soul or his circumstances. And he was persecuted and brought to his low point. He said in verse 6, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. I don't know if I've ever been in this kind of difficulty. I never felt like someone was hunting me down to kill me, and that I had no one to turn to. But this is where David found himself. A man after God's own heart. David, the hero of Israel, who had slain Goliath, who had overcome the enemy. He was now huddled in a cave, hiding from King Saul. Now I know that all of us at one time or another have had similar feelings. You may be feeling this today. It is part of the human condition. During times of great difficulty and distress, it's something that we have to deal with. And I think it's vital that you turn to the right person when trials come into your life, when afflictions, when circumstances are overwhelming you and are totally against you. We've got to learn how to deal with difficulties in life so that we don't plunge into despair and into depression. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not trained in that field. All I have to give you is what the Bible says. And I do believe that there is great comfort and relief and strength and help to be found if we will avail ourselves of the Word of God and the Lord Himself. Several years ago, there were two men who professed to be called to preach that I knew personally. And within a month's time, both of these men took their lives. One of them hung himself, the other one shot himself. And it made me realize that there are people who are quietly bearing burdens that nobody knows about. And their burdens were so great, they thought the only way out was death. And it happens. It happened to preachers. Life does get to people. And I pray that God will help us to be instructed by His Spirit on how to deal with difficulties, so that we don't become unraveled by them. And I think there's a lot of good advice in this chapter on how we can deal with difficulties and trials and afflictions and sorrows that come into our lives. And I think the first thing that has to be recognized is verse 3. He said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Recognize that God is in sovereign control. Amen. He sees your circumstances. There is nothing that escapes the watchful eye of our great God. Thankfully, He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never gets weary. He never takes a day off. And He knows everything about you. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God knew about this trial that David was going through. And He knows about all of our circumstances, all of our troubles, all of our burdens. And He hears the complaint of your soul. David said, I poured out my complaint before Him. It is biblical. Pour out your cares, your burdens, your complaints, your bitterness. Pour it out before God. God sees all. He knows all. And He has purposed all. God works all things after the counsel of His own will. And when me and Josh, we had prayed for Nate Hilly, And the question arose, why would God allow a man of God to go through this kind of pain and loss? And I always go back to a quote from Spurgeon, "Sturdy ships are built to sail on rough waters." God knows how people can glorify Him. God purposes these things to ultimately bring glory and honor to His own name. As horrific as all this is physically for Nate Hilly, God is doing something spiritual. I can guarantee it. As the people that deal with him and interact with him and his family, and they see them and their faith and their triumphing in Christ, I wouldn't be surprised that there won't be people saved and lives changed out of what we consider to be something so awful. I often think of Joseph. I mean, you don't get much worse than when your own brothers, they throw you in a pit and are plotting to murder you. And one of the brothers said, "No, listen, let's just sell him." Oh, hey, you're hearing all this. Let's just sell him. And then we'll make up his story and go back and tell Dad that a wild animal got him, and here's what's left of his coat of many colors. And Joseph, I mean, think about what you would have done when you saw your brothers when they came to Egypt. Oh, yeah, you guys put me in the pit. You sold me into slavery. I'm going to cut your heads off. No, he didn't do that. Now, I do think he twisted them a little bit and brought them to a place where they saw how wrong they were. But in the end, they thought he was still going to take revenge, and he said, "You guys don't understand. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And realistically, if you look back at the history of it, it preserved the line of the Messiah. Because the Abrahamic line would have died out if they would have all died in a famine. God meant it for good. There's an overriding purpose in everything that happens. Isaiah 40, or 46, verses 9 and 10 point this out. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." And then he gives an example of verse 11, "calling a ravenous bird from the east." I'm even in control of the animal kingdom. "The man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it." There is a reason, a purpose. And when you know that a gracious God who has redeemed you through the blood of His own Son, who suffered unexplainable, immeasurable pain and sorrow and judgment, that same God who gave His Son so that you could be redeemed has concern and care for your life, even when insurmountable difficulties in your mind, and I've had those, there are times, Lord, I literally have thought to myself, I'm hanging on by a thread here. Yet I go back to God, my Redeemer, the lover of my soul, has it all under control. And understand that no matter how difficult things may appear, God will make a way. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I thought about that. Bear it. There are some trials and troubles that you're going to have to deal with your whole life. And some of them are painful. And they bring sorrow. But God, in His grace, can make a way to bear it. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. As I was studying for this message, I ran across a quote by John Newton. Now, you know who John Newton is. He was the writer of one of the most famous hymns. We sing it every time we conclude the Lord's Supper service. Amazing Grace. He lived from 1725 to 1807. And he was a wicked man. Before he was saved, he was a slave trader. And this quote is so penetrating. The Lord is not withdrawn to a great distance, but His eye is upon you. He sees you not with the indifference of a mere spectator, but He observes with attention. He knows. He considers your path. Yea, He appoints it. And every circumstance about it is under His direction. Your trouble began at the hour He saw best. It could not come before, and He has marked the degree of it to a hair's breadth, and its duration to a minute. He knows likewise how your spirit is affected, and such supplies of grace and strength, and in such seasons as He sees needful, He will afford in due season. So that when things appear darkest, you shall still be able to say, though chastened, not killed, therefore hope in God, for you shall yet praise Him. That's a profound statement. So the first thing during times of difficulty, and when you're overwhelmed, God knows all about it. Take comfort in that. Focus on the goodness of God, His grace that's permeated your life. Think about how many blessings God has poured out upon your unworthy soul. He can get you through anything. And then secondly, to deal with difficulties, you've got to rely on God. So often when difficulties arise, I don't know how it is with you, but usually my first order of business is try to figure out how I can make this thing work. I want to figure it out on my own. Or I may go to somebody else with my complaints. I was awful when I was a young preacher. I mean, I started to work out of the authority of Wilmington Baptist. I think I was 25, 26 years old. Tammy was 19 when we started this work in Xenia, Ohio. And I'll never forget it just seemed like everything was the biggest problem that could come, because it was the first time we were experienced this, you know. And our mission was growing. People were being saved and added. And I remember one time this one brother, I'm not going to say his name, but I met him while I was door knocking one day and witnessed to him, and the Lord saved him. And I don't know, there was always something going on. And I'll never forget, this is before the days of caller ID. Isn't caller ID a blessing, man? If I see a number that comes in, I don't know it, I mock them. You think I'm going to answer that? What do they call those, the callers? Yeah, the scammer. You think I'm going to answer that? Now, if I get frisky sometimes, I'll answer it and I'll say, "Do you know Jesus? Have you ever trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior?" Well, I want to talk to you about, that's not as important about what I want to talk to you about. And then they usually hang up. But I only do that when I feel frisky. But this brother, this before caller ID, remember those days when the phone would ring and you felt like it was your bounden duty to answer every call? You would scamper for the phone. I picked up the phone, and this brother says in a loud voice, he doesn't say, "Hello, Brother Ross, how are you today?" The brother called and he yelled, "There's trouble in the church!" You know, and I could tell I knew who it was by his voice inflection, you know. And here I am, I think I was 26, 27 years old, and I'm thinking, "Lord, are you sure this is what you want me to do?" And oh, I'd get shook up. And I know it affected my wife. But I finally came to the place where I started really believing in the sovereignty of God. And that God is a good God. And He works all things after the counsel of His own will. And I can't always understand it. It's like what Spurgeon said. We often look at our troubles like we're looking at the back of an oriental rug that's all jumbled. You don't see the other side where it's all just beauty and the symmetry is perfect. That's God's side of it. But oftentimes we look at the side that we can't really put together. We've got to rely on the Lord during times of great difficulty. Psalm 108, verses 12 and 13, he cries out, "Give us help from trouble." For vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly. For He it is that shall tread down our enemies. That's the essence of trust in God. When your enemies are on every side, your troubles are overwhelming you, and you just put yourself in the loving hands of a gracious God. Trust. We have to learn to completely trust God with our circumstances. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Rely on God. Trust Him. And then David also knew that he had to go to God with this particular set of circumstances that were beyond his control. So he prayed. He cried out unto the Lord. And you know, you don't have to be on your knees to do this. You can cry out to God right now. He knows your heart. He cried out unto the Lord with his voice. He had to go to God because he couldn't solve this. God would have to intervene. In Psalm 120 in verse 1, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. How many times has that verse been true in my life? When God heard my cry. Psalm 121, he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. If He can do that, He can help you. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. David trusted God, and he prayed unto the Lord. He fervently prayed for God to help him. Hezekiah did the same thing. If you remember, when Rabshakeh brought that letter of doom and destruction upon the Jews, Hezekiah didn't say, oh, we've got to hire some legal people. Set the army, and we got to get things straight here. No, he went, took that letter and spread it before the Lord. And laid out his case before God. And God intervened. Trust, pray. And then go to God's Word for instruction and guidance. I've made it a practice through my Christian life, and part of it's due. I'm a big believer in memorization of Scripture. And part of it is I believe it gives a preacher greater liberty if he's got Scriptures in his heart and in his mind, and when he's preaching, he can recall those. But it's a good way to meditate. Is if you've got the Word of God hidden in your heart, and a certain circumstance comes up, and you can go to your spiritual Rolodex. This is what I need. Go to God. Go to His Word. Go to the promises that are relevant to your circumstances. Say with the psalmist, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And David did that. He recognized God's sovereignty. And then he learned to rely on the Lord. I thought I'd get done with this sermon today. You've got to come back next week. I'm going to finish it up. I hope to finish it up next week. I got, let's see, 3, 4, 5. I've got 3 more points. And maybe even a poem if I can find one that's relevant. I need this message. And I doubt if I'm the only one. You may not need it right now, but you do need to file it away. Because life is full of troubles. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks that fly upward, Job said. And if anybody knew about trouble, it was him. Let's learn together how to deal with difficulties. Feast on what's been preached today. And whatever circumstances you're in, reflect on this. God is sovereign. He knows and He cares about you and about your specific set of circumstances. And then rely on Him. Depend upon Him. Go to Him. Pour out your complaint to Him. And He will hear. And He'll undertake for you. Let's all stand.
Page number 6.